With Ciara being the middle child, as in two older and two younger, it definitely was difficult in the beginning because we didn't know what Ciara's problem was. We didn't know why she wouldn't wear a pair of jeans or why she wouldn't put on the shoes that I got her, or if I told her, if I sent her down to the room and I'd say, get your shoes, put them on, get into the car.
Like you would with the other kids?
Yeah. Like two, she'd be standing in the hallway wondering, what am I supposed to be doing now? Like, you know, so like that, we had to learn. But until we actually had her diagnosed and knew exactly what we were dealing with, I was just trying to, as you would, go on when the other two girls, just treating her the same way. But things just weren't, the cards weren't falling into the right places, like, you know. So we knew we had difficulties. We kind of knew from Ciara was about three that she just wasn't in the same place as the other two girls would have been when they were three. But it took us till Ciara was nine to actually have her diagnosed, because she came across in school as being just maybe slow at reading, maybe just a bit slow on handwriting. You know, teachers kept saying, you know, extra resource, but they didn't see the side of her at school that we were seeing here at home, because I suppose when you do look at school, it is quite routine. You know, everything's on a bell, things normally go to plan, and then the odd time she would have a bit of a
upset.
Yeah, at school, but then they put that down to maybe just, you know, something that just happened that day or whatever, you know. Same on the bus, she would have her same seat on the bus all the time and didn't like anyone else to sit in that seat, and the bus driver was very good, he would just accommodate that, and if somebody was sitting in her seat, he'd say, no, Ciara, sit there, and move them, and then that way, for the first few years, sort of people just did maybe what they had to do just to keep her happy, if that's the right word. So then eventually when she moved teacher, within 2 weeks of her going into the teacher, the teacher rang me and just said, you know, we need to talk about Ciara. And I thought, oh, thank God, somebody anyway. And she says, yeah, she says, it's definitely more than an educational here. We need...
What year was this now, Carol? What year was she in?
Second class, yes. Third class maybe. She would have went into second, yeah, and then by the time it was third class, she was actually had the diagnosis in third class.
So her teacher said, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she'd only had Ciara for 2 weeks at that stage, right, which I thought was good. Was amazing. Because the teacher prior to that, she had her for 3 years. And now she just kept saying, you know, no, we'd say to her, like myself and Patsy would often have talked to her about different issues. She just didn't, but then again, I suppose it's maybe the not knowing, maybe she's never came across with a child on the autism spectrum before, you know, I don't know. But the other lady teacher certainly did, because like I say, after 2 weeks she rang and said, you know, maybe we'd look about having a clinical as well as an educational assessment for Ciara. So we said, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. So what you're saying there is that you were actually a little bit relieved, weren't you?
We were relieved, as in, at least if it was that she was just spoiled, as they said, then we could deal with it, like. But we didn't know what to deal with it, and actually what we were doing at home here was putting more pressure on her and stressing her out even more, which was making her world more confusing, you know. So I mean, I seen me giving out to her because she wouldn't put a pair of jeans on and couldn't figure out why she didn't want to wear these pair of jeans, like, you know. So, and it was the same when we went to shops, you know, she would freeze, she'd be throwing straps. It was like, you know, why do you not just, you know, we just could not figure out why she couldn't do the things the other two girls were doing, you know.
Just a very confusing time for Ciara and for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. And it wasn't until we had the assessment, then we met with the professionals, and then at least we got some ways off. And then I myself went off and started doing courses to try and know about Asperger's, about autism, what it was. Was it something I did during pregnancy? All these things that comes into your head, but it's not really, you know, it's just something that happens and you just need to deal with it. But yes, we got, in fairness, we had one psychologist in Donegal Town, and that was the turning point for myself, Ciara and the family, because we did a 2-year cognitive behavioural therapy, and it would take Ciara on her own, then it would take, like, say, myself and Patsy, and then it would take the her siblings, then they'd be all together, and everybody had different things. And, you know, she would give her strategies of maybe how to go into different restaurants, because Ciara was very much one thing in one restaurant, and that was it. Remember, she was telling you about different, you know, every restaurant will have tables, chairs, forks, knives, the same thing in every every restaurant, like, no matter what you go into, these things will always be the same.
There may be,
yes, exactly. And then it's like I was trying to figure out why she didn't want to go in and shop, like, for herself when she was like turning 14 and 15, like, why she couldn't go into, say, New Look. And as she explained it to me, she says, it'd be a bit like me taking you to India for a wedding, dropping you into a sari shop and say, right, off you go now and buy us for the something for the wedding.
Right.
She says, you're going to be standing there going, well, do I get long? Do I get short? Do I get something for my hair? Do I not? What, do I get bright? Do I get dark? And she says, the same things goes through Kira's head.
Just too much information in there. Too much choice.
Too much choice.
Yeah.
You just couldn't go to Letterkenny for, you know, a day's shopping. It would have to be a day shopping for Kira. There'd be no such thing as me trying to look at something, because when it was done, it was home. Right or wrong?
It's still the same. Like, I don't like going shopping. Like, I only like going shopping if I have to get something. But then, like, as Mum said, if she had to go shopping, then I'd be complaining, looking to go home. As long as I was done, I was sorted. I didn't care about anybody else.
Yeah,
it's still kind of the same though.
Because
I've never been really big into shopping. But I'm only recently coming around since, like, I've started to go, like, you know, going out, going to discos, going, like, meeting friends in town and all that. It's just recently I only have, like, a wardrobe full of clothes, because I do remember I used to have only two t-shirts and two pairs of trousers, and I went week. The ones, those were in the washer, were the other ones, but by the time then those ones were dirty, the other pair would be cleaned again. So I only have two pairs of trousers and two tops for every second week.
Tracksuit
bottoms, not even trousers.
Yeah, tracksuit bottoms.
Tracksuit bottoms. That's what she lived in, tracksuit bottoms and t-shirts.
You're very stylish now, Kira.
Yeah, I like my clothes now.
Aren't you? She likes her clothes now.
I feel myself like I'm getting better at shopping now, but I still don't like it.
Okay. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask about were the mocks. Because last time I was up, you were preparing for the mock exams. So how did that go?
Overall, it went okay. There's some things I'm disappointed about, and there's some things I guessed what I was going to get, but yeah, I think they went all right.
Okay, so you're happy enough?
I think so.
Yeah?
There's some things I'm not, but...
Was it stressful, Kira? Mum's nodding. Yeah, Carmel, was it very stressful?
It was very stressful.
For you, not for me.
Yeah, it was a little stressful, all right, just to know, and, like, there was so much information, there was so much that maybe Kira thought she knew, and then what she didn't take on board, and but it was fine. Like,
you mean in terms of answering questions in the work?
Yeah, is so much.
A lot of pressure though, Kira. Yeah,
a little bit. It's just always, they're constantly going on about it now. So your mocks are coming up, and now that the mocks are over, it's the leavings are coming up now, and it's non-stop all the entire time, and it gets boring after a while. You kind of don't want to do it after they've been on about it for so long.
You're fed up with it all.
Yeah.
This is March now. You've done the mocks. And the Leaving Cert is in?
6 weeks.
And what are your feelings on the whole thing?
It's kind of scary knowing that whenever I do the Leaving Cert, I'm out of secondary school. And just not knowing what's going ahead now. Just, I don't know what to think.
Is it all scary, Kira, or are you sort of excited as well? Are you looking forward to it?
Excited and scary.
Jack, were you at One Direction?
No.
Who went to One Direction, Maeve?
He's going to go to Nathan Carter, are you?
What? I'm not going to Nathan Carter, ridiculous.
Jack with his dyspraxia. Speech is difficult for Jack. More in the sense, it's not that he can't formulate a conversation in his head and know what words he wants to speak. It's the physically forming the words and speaking the words and making them clear. That's the difficult part for Jack. And that is why he has difficulty in social situations. He doesn't want people coming in, "Oh, Jack, how are you? What year are you in school now?" And trying to draw him into a conversation, because he knows that person is going to experience difficulty trying to make out what he's saying. And he avoids that.
He's clever enough
to know that that would be a difficulty for them. So it's just like, don't even go there. Don't put me in this situation. I don't want to handle it.
So how's school, Jack? Good?
I don't know what school to do.
You what?
Eddie. You're Eddie's coming to school too.
Yeah. Eddie's going to go to the... What'll I tell him? Is it good?
Tell him to meet tea and coffee served.
They serve tea and coffee at school? Do they? Do you get tea at school?
Tea and coffee.
Every day?
You have tea with Alison, and who else do you have tea with?
Trina.
No, who's the other?
Just go away.
Alison and...
How much is the tea? What will I tell him to bring so we can buy tea?
2 euro for tea.
2 euro? Yeah. 2 euro?
1 euro for tea.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's weird.
Do you get any cakes?
No, making cakes.
Yeah. Do you get any hot food up there?
Chips.
I think Eddie's going to love it.
Sometimes he's like a 4 or 5 year old child, but he understands an awful lot about this world that we don't realise he understands, you know.
Yeah.
And especially since he went up to secondary school, he goes into all his classes. Now, what he picks up in the class, we don't really know. But it certainly changed him. Certainly made him more aware.
Yeah. And how about your teachers? Who are the good teachers?
I forget.
Who are the bold teachers?
I'm good.
And is it a big, big place, Jack?
Sometimes Alison, Jack doesn't go into all his classes.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Oh. We would have to ask Jackie that. Why do you not go into the class? He's too busy.
Busy drinking tea?
Busy having tea with Siobhan. And who else do you have tea with, Mary Crawford? Mary Crawford, who's the other S&A, Jackie? These are the ladies,
Sean.
These are the ladies, yes. And Ailish is right.
And Glenkeith.
Complete routine.
Ailish is from Glenkeith.
Oh, yeah.
And who else, Jackie?
Do you mean to tell me Jack's supposed to be in his class and he's sitting drinking tea with all the ladies?
I'm afraid so, but don't tell Mr. Doherty.
No. That's our secret. Shh, Jack, shh. We keep it our secret.
Till I cheat at 2 p.m. sharp.
I will. 2 p.m. sharp.
When you just look at how Jack has gotten on, his whole school experience, preschool, primary school and secondary school to date, have all been... mainstream with assistance, and it just drives that message home so big time that if at all possible all children should go through mainstream school, because school is not about academia, all about academia. It's way more. There's a huge big learning curve for kids about getting on with their peers, about adapting their behaviours, about learning that they're not this little centre of their family's world and that the world revolves around them. They have to learn to get out, mix, mingle, adapt their behaviours. There's so much learning they have to do, and they can only do that amongst peers. They can't. You cannot teach those lessons any other way.
Yeah, it really worked
worked so well, and an awful lot of kids, given the chance, it will work for them too. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there are going to be exceptions. That's not a golden rule for everybody. But if at all possible, it's the way to go. It's so good for them.
What does HCT mean?
Home economics.
Home economics, hotel, catering and tourism.
And tourism.
That's where you would do some sewing, wouldn't you? In the home economics. And you made a lovely sewing project.
Yeah.
Maybe you made the Peppa Pig.
Oh, yeah. I only did that the last time.
Yeah, and you took it away and got it framed. Now, read this next page.
What page is cookery on?
What page is cookery on? Okay, have a look.
Page 87.
Good boy. What did you make at cookery today, Ben?
Chicken goujons.
Lovely.
What class would have you wanted to learn how to take photographs?
If you wanted to learn how to take photographs, what class would you need to go to?
Pay class 552.
Sorry, say that again.
It's in class 154.
154, and the name of the class is?
Photography.
Photography. Photography.
Photography.
Good boy. Now, Ben, you used to do photography with me, remember, in first year?
Oh, I did.
What do you need to do photography? What piece of equipment do you need?
What? A camera.
Yeah, and what do you take with the camera?
you take pictures.
Pictures, yeah.
Ben's very bright and interactive with you in the class, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Very. He, no, on a topic that he wishes to talk about, he's very good. But if he has no particular interest in it, it's hard to get the conversation flowing. But I notice that if you think he's not listening, but he's taking everything in, and then he'll come maybe 2 days later, he'll bring up something that you didn't, you know, if you were talking to someone else, he's listening in the background and he'll say, but that's what you were talking about to another student a few days ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's very on the ball, but needs prompting a lot of the way. Now,
what class is on page 35?
Page 35.
Creative writing.
Creative writing. That's about writing stories using your imagination, Ben.
That's right.
Do you remember you wrote a story one day for me about all the snakes in the wood in Drumble Woods?
Oh.
That was creative writing, wasn't it, Ben?
But they aren't any snakes in Drumble Woods.
There's not. But what has Joseph said that lives in Drumble Woods?
A Gruffalo.
A Gruffalo. And does the Gruffalo live there?
No.
Where does the Gruffalo live?
He only lives in the story.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the story?
Well, he has terrible tusks and terrible claws and terrible teeth and his terrible jaws.
You like that story, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you have that book at home?
Oh, I think so.
Would you like to bring it in?
No.
You're going to keep it at home?
Yeah.
Did you read it for Ellie Mae before?
No, not really. But only has the story with a mouse in it.
Is there a mouse in the Gruffalo story?
That's right.
That's Joseph's favourite story too, you know.
And also has the three animals, a fox, an owl, and a snake.
Oh, wow. There's lots of animals in that story. Do you know who the author of that book is?
Right by Julia Dunce Johnson.
Oh, Julia Johnson.
Julia Johnson.
So your role, Colette, you're his teacher.
Teacher in the ASD classroom, yeah. Right.
What is ASD?
It's the Autism Spectrum Disorder.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And this is the classroom we're in here now?
This is the classroom we're in now.
It's the ASD room.
Yeah.
Autism Spectrum Disorder room.
Disorder, yeah. Mm. Well, we have two rooms in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This was the one that was established first 6 years ago. So Ben's fifth year now, so it was really just more or less newly established when Ben first started.
So Ben has been lucky enough to have this facility all of his secondary education, all his school life.
Well, we weren't actually in this room. We were in an old school building, and it was down in the main town, just about a kilometre from here. And when we first got established, we were in a Sam Heyer hut, like a back of a lorry that we had hired into the schoolyard. And we were in there, and we had enough space for three of these workstations in a row, and that's all we had.
This is a beautiful facility now compared to that.
You know, we must have eight times the size of the space. Now, this is all about classifying, Ben, and this is one of the worksheets from your speech and language that Edale left for us today. Okay, can you read the instructions?
Okay. Cross out the one that doesn't belong in each row, then tell why it doesn't belong.
Okay, so we're looking at the first row. Okay. Now, can you read the words and tell me which one doesn't belong?
Snow.
Okay, read the words loudly first.
Summer, winter, and spring.
And spring and
snow. Snow.
Okay, so which one doesn't belong?
Snow.
Okay, why does snow not belong in that row?
Because it's a weather.
Yes, and these other are?
Seasons.
Seasons. Very good. Okay, next row. Ben now, as a fifth year student, he's integrated a lot more into the mainstream school than what he was initially. He's done his junior cert.
Yeah, fantastically well in his junior cert, I have that.
Yeah, he did really well in his junior cert. He's finished year one of his Leaving Cert Applied, and he's on year two. Right. So,
how long would you think it'll take him to do the Leaving Cert Applied? Will it take him a little bit extra?
No, he should have it completed in the same time, as the others. No, he's not doing the full range of subjects. Mm-hmm. We have taken some of the caseload off him so that he gets time in the ASD room to do the project work and to do whatever homework would be required at home. We try and, you know, attend to it so at least it's, you know, rehearsed with him.
Yeah.
You know, if
Ben likes school, doesn't he? He loves the order of it. I mean, like an awful lot of children on the spectrum, they love order and discipline and routine and regime. So this really suits Ben. He's thriving in this environment, isn't he?
Yeah, he loves the schedule.
Mm.
When he first came to us, he only could work on a daily schedule.
Right. We're in this cubicle now, and it's a lovely little cubicle with a big red cat clock, lots of pictures and drawings, and a chair with Ben on the back of it. So his schedule is just pinned up here in the wall. There's a lot of information on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's times, there's the day, there's the subject, and there's the room.
The room number, yeah.
So, and there's break. So in one big information page, it's a lot to take in, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and he can manipulate that very well. And he's generally very good at organising his own bag. All his stuff is here. So he knows that if he stays here and goes through his shelves, he'll get what he needs. You know.
So has this always been his cubicle? Is this his space? Next year he won't get moved to a different cubicle. You keep the...
No, he's had this space since we moved to the school. That's his chair.
This is his corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's lovely. It's so bright and colourful.
And this is like the clock is his engineering project for Leaving Cert.
Oh, he made that?
Mm-hmm. Really? It's in the process of making it because time is an area of difficulty for him. We're working on the clock and, you know, kind of...
That's a great big, lovely big red plastic clock with yellow little pieces for the numbers and nice eyes and whiskers. That's brilliant, isn't it?
He made this pen holder as well, the pig.
Well, the Peppa Pig, of course, with a clock again.
Yeah. So
that's fantastic.
That's his own art.
This is great, it really is. It really is. You can see how he would just thrive here and learn so much.
Read them first.
Pen, ruler, crayon and marker. A ruler.
Why does a ruler not belong in that room?
Because it's not a pencil.
It's not a pencil. A pen, a crayon and a marker are all used
to draw.
To draw or write with. But you can't draw or write with a ruler, can you not?
No.
No. Okay. Now, Ben, we're going to move on. So, look, will you tick off in your schedule? We've done our word index. And we've done a little bit of classifying. And what's next?
The application form.
Application form. Okay. You'll have to put your thinking cap on now for this. Now.
The Moon is an Orange Triangle is a Real Films production and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.